have that song sung just before we look at God's Word. And it's a special song to have because I don't know if you picked this up, but we really need God's Spirit to revive His people. We live in days when God's people need to arise, not in their own strength, but in the power of the Spirit. We might shine and be a people who show to others the reality of our God and His grace in Jesus. Let's pray before we look at God's Word tonight. Our Father, as we come now to consider Your Word, and I thank You for how we've read Your Word, we thank You for how it is Your Spirit who is our teacher. We thank You for how He is the one who is the Spirit of truth and who leads us into all truth, and how we need that, that we might see more clearly who You are and what You've done for us and what Your plans are for us, what You want us to do in Your world, that our lives might be fruitful and productive. We ask for all of us that the things that we look at tonight might have an impact upon us, that Your Spirit would make these truths really count, that we would be a people who really do show forth the greatness and glory of our God and His grace in Jesus. We know that our world is struggling, it's dying, and even Your church has struggled when we ought not to be, when we have the risen Saviour with us. Help Your church to arise and show the world the only hope we have. That hope is Jesus, the hope of glory. We pray now that You would bless these words to us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about what to share tonight, I will be looking at Acts chapter 2. But I could not help but go right back to the early days of the Lord Jesus' ministry, when He was walking along with His disciples through Samaria, and He left His disciples. They went into the village of Sychar, and He sat by a well. Do you remember the story? He sat by a well, thirsty and tired. It was Jacob's well of old. And in this passage of Scripture, early in the ministry of Jesus, we read an amazing conversation that occurred between a Samaritan woman from that village of Sychar and the Lord Jesus Himself. And I'd like to actually read that account to you before we look at Acts chapter 2. Well, she came to draw water, and it was Jesus who spoke to her first. He said to her, "Give me a drink." Simple as that. What was her response? Well, she said to Him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?" She protested. Who is this guy? He's a Jew. He shouldn't be talking to me. I'm a Samaritan. Jews hate Samaritans. But Jesus then gave her an amazing answer or response. He said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." Just dwell on that statement of Jesus, how rich it is. She didn't understand it though. She goes on to say, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you?" Yes, he is. "Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now that woman at that time, right at that moment, didn't understand what Jesus was speaking about. What was Jesus speaking about? What is the gift of God? What is the living water? What is this water that springs up to be a well of eternal life? It's none other than the Holy Spirit. Jesus is speaking of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God. The Holy Spirit is the living water. The Holy Spirit is the one who is a well of water that springs up to eternal life. She did get to understand this eventually. I hope we understand what Jesus is speaking of here. Jesus made it very clear later on in John's Gospel, John chapter 7, about this living water and the Holy Spirit. On this occasion, He was at a great Jewish feast. It was the last day of the feast, and He stood up. And in John chapter 7, 37 to 39, we read these words. Jesus stood up and he cried out saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." And then we have what this is all about in verse 39. "By this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And tonight, on the day of Pentecost, we do remember the time came when Jesus had been glorified. He had been raised from the dead. And then he ascended to the right hand of the throne in terms of God the Father, right there. And it happened just as the prophets had declared way back, just as Jesus had declared, just as the Father had promised. The Spirit came, the living water came, the gift of God came powerfully upon his people, just as God had declared. And what a thing it is for the Spirit of God to have been given to us. He is the gift of God. That's what Jesus described him to be. If you knew the gift of God, he's the one who we can only have through the Son. Jesus made that very clear. Only if you come to me can you have the Spirit. And it's the Spirit, I've got to say this, that is everything. To have the Spirit enables us to be born again, to be sealed as a child of God, to be in connection with God, to be filled with peace and joy, to have the fruit of the Spirit, to have the gifts of the Spirit, to be a people who are caught up with God's plan and purpose. Without the Spirit, there's nothing. It's emptiness, it's form, it's deadness. But to have the Spirit is to have life, fullness of life. I know we touched on some of these things this morning. When I think of Jesus' words, "If you knew the gift of God," I can't help, as I mentioned this morning here at Pasadena, the two great gifts. I want to be so conscious of the two great gifts from our Father's loving, gracious heart. There is the gift of the Son. There's no doubt that we should see Jesus as a glorious gift to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave his Son to die for us, to bear our sin, to suffer for our wrongs so that we could be forgiven, and he raised him from the dead so that through him we can have life. But he also gave another gift. That's what we want to remember tonight. Through the Son came the great gift also of the Holy Spirit. May we go away from this place remembering this great gift. And tonight, looking at Acts chapter 2, I would like us to consider why the Holy Spirit was actually given to us. What was the result of the Holy Spirit coming upon his people on that wonderful day called the Day of Pentecost? And I'd like to use Acts chapter 2 to just consider a small part of why he came. There's many other great passages in the Bible, John 14, John 16, and other passages that speak of who the Holy Spirit is and what he has come to do. But if you have your Bibles, let's have a look at Acts chapter 2. And I'd like us to specifically look at the words of the Apostle Peter, who in the power of the Holy Spirit spoke some great truths. So let me start off at verse 14. So the Holy Spirit has come. We've read that already. He came powerfully. He didn't come quietly, did he? He didn't come obscurely. He came powerfully. Ever thought of why that might have been? God wanted the whole world to know. His church had been born. Prophecy had been fulfilled. But there was confusion because some miracles were occurring. The apostles, the disciples of Jesus who were filled with the Spirit were speaking in other languages, languages they had learnt. And there's a lot of confusion. And then we have in verse 14, Peter getting up. So verse 14 onward goes, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so what I want to do is I want to look at those words that Peter, by the power of the Spirit, picked up on from the prophecy found in Joel chapter 2. And I want us to see just in this passage, what was the great result of the Holy Spirit being given to the people who followed Jesus. So what I see first of all here in this prophecy is that the Holy Spirit was specific. Now, Jesus was given for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. But the Spirit has been given to who? To those who love and follow Jesus. So there's a distinction. That's clear here, isn't it? In verses 17 and 18, the first part of 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. But then it's qualified. All mankind meaning not just the Jews, but the Gentiles, the Eskimo Gentiles, the Aboriginal Gentiles, the Aussie Gentiles. And what's the qualification? In verse 18, even on my servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. And God has poured forth his Spirit on all those who have come to repent of their sins and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It began at this great day, the day of Pentecost, but it's begun ever since. Anyone who would call on the name of the Lord. And you see, what God has done is that by giving his Spirit, poured forth his Spirit into our lives, God has done an amazing thing. He has made us by this great gift of the Spirit. He has truly made us the people of God. I want you to think about that phrase. We are the people of God. Not just because Jesus died for us and rose again, but because God has put his Spirit in us. We're not just acquaintances with God. We now are the people of God. That's one of the great things that has happened by the Spirit coming to live in us. What a thing it is. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 27 and 28, we read these words. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Then it goes on to say, so that you will be my people and I will be your God. God's great plan, the great gift of the Spirit was to make us his people. That we would be in him and he would be in us. And that God would transform us. So that we would truly be his people who bear his character, who bear and share the glory of God with others. It's the Spirit that has enabled us to be truly the people of God. I think of what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. It reminds us, for once we were not a people, but now we are the people of God. And the Spirit has had a mighty impact in bringing that about. What a thing that God has brought about through the gift of the Spirit that we might truly be the people of God in a very complete sense. Are you delighted that you are a person of the living God? That we are the people of God if we come to faith in Christ? You're the people of God. What a title. What a status we have. You're not just an Aussie. You're part of the people of God, part of Christ's church because of the Spirit. Whom he has given to be in you. But what else do we see in this prophecy that Peter quotes from Joel? Well, I see something else too in regard to the Spirit coming and what has happened as a result. Let me read to you again verses 17 and into 18. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Well, here's something intriguing. Not only has the Spirit enabled us to be the people of God, but he's also enabled us to be the prophets of God. Well, that's a bit interesting. What do you mean by that? It means that God has given the ability and enabling through the gift of the Spirit to be those who now are able to proclaim God's glory and to proclaim God's gospel. That's what God has done through giving the Spirit. We couldn't do it before, but now we can. Do you see Peter? He's a prime example. He's cowardly, Peter, you know. He denies Jesus, but now filled with the Spirit, he stands up and he proclaims. That's what the Spirit has brought about in all of us who love Jesus. We now can be, so to speak, a prophet, proclaiming the gospel of our God and his glory to others. What do you think about that? We've got a message to declare. God has made not just ministers, but all Christians to be his prophets, to proclaim his message to all the nations. We need to grasp hold of that. We really do. Even when they were speaking in other languages, isn't it interesting that in verse 11 of Acts chapter 2, it talks about all the different people who were hearing their languages, and it mentions in verse 11, Cretans and Arabs. And then it says, we hear them in our own tongue speaking of the mighty deeds of God. That's what the Holy Spirit enables. He enables us to speak of the mighty deeds of God. One of the passages that I really love is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And it says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. It's the Spirit that enables that to happen. God's Spirit has caused us to be those who are able to proclaim the glory of our God, and what glory there is to declare. How do you feel? My eyes are still being opened to the glory of my God. I'm still learning and beholding glorious things of his character, of his wonder, and especially in regard to his Son and what he has accomplished for us through his Son. There are things for us to continue to grow in and learn through the Spirit, that we might faithfully proclaim that there is no one like our God. There's no one so beautiful and gracious, so wonderful as he and his dear Son Jesus. And of course, part of our prophesying, proclaiming, is to proclaim the gospel itself. To proclaim that simple but most profound message of one who died for us, who took the fall for us, who bore the punishment for our sins so that we could be set free and forgiven. It's our joy through the Spirit to proclaim that great message of the gospel to all around. This is what the Spirit has enabled by him coming into our life. And there's one more thing that I'd like to mention about the coming of the Spirit. His coming and his establishment of the church is all in relation to a very special time that we live in. And this really excites me. It's important for us to remember the days that we live in. Do you notice that the prophet Joel in verse 17, Peter quotes this, it says in verse 17, and it shall be in the last days. The Bible declares that the days we live in right now are the last days. The last days before what? This is something very important for us to grasp hold of. These are the last days before the door closes and the time of grace passes and judgment shall fall. This is the period of grace. And God has established his church and caused his people to arise through the Spirit and to have a message to proclaim, so that during this period of time, all people everywhere might hear about God's favor and grace. Heaven's amnesty. Come to Jesus and be saved. I noticed when we were reading this, quite a number of you, I could hear you respond when we read verse 21. This is God's heart. Verse 21, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what the church has got to get hold of. This is why we've been made the people of God, not only for our own salvation. This is why we've been made prophets of God, not just for our own glory, so that we might tell others and share and shine Jesus with others, so that they might hear of him and that they might call on his name and find salvation from judgment and from their sins and become also the people of God who will live forever with him in glory. What days we live in. Sometimes I wonder as Christians whether we have lost sight of the days we live in. Why are we here? Do we understand this period of time? This is the time for us as the church to arise, to remember our mandate and remember what the Spirit has, why he's come, and to be about our God's business. I know the Holy Spirit is so much. You know, I know that he's come to give us fullness of life. I know that he's come to give us counsel and guidance and help and comfort and consolation. But he's also come to make me and you his people so that we might shine our God. He's also given us a voice to speak, to proclaim and prophesy the gospel so that others might be saved. These are the days we live in. I think it's pretty clear what we're heading towards. It says that in verse 20. The sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. The Bible tells us there is a day when the day of grace shall end. Jesus shall come and he shall gather indeed all those who love him to himself, but he will also come and bring judgment. These are the days for us to call on the name of the Lord. And if you've done that, praise God. And if you have done it, let's get about what we're meant to be about. Let's encourage each other. You know, it's hard in Australia, isn't it? Trying to share the gospel, or am I the only one? How often do you get shut down, put down? Everything happens. You just got to keep going about it. Find brothers and sisters who will pray with you and help you. Learn from each other. Don't give up. These are days that really count. God has equipped you and given you his Spirit to help you. He will help you in every way to shine the Lord and to share the Lord with others. But we've got to do it. We've got to do it. Praise God that we don't live in days of persecution yet. But I guess those days will come one day. They're already in most of the world, but not here yet. It's so lovely to meet together. So lovely to come together as fellow believers from various congregations in this area. So great to know that we together are God's people through faith in Jesus, by calling on his name and by the giving of the Spirit into our life. How do you feel about all these things? Isn't it a wonderful privilege to be a child of God and to be given the Spirit? Well, we're going to sing now a song. Lord, the light of your love is shining. And this speaks about the Spirit blazing in our hearts. Let's stand.
Father, Mother, Mary.
Please take a seat. That song's really a prayer. Did you notice that? And I pray that we really do mean those words, that we might really desire for, as it says there, shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. That's what we need. I'm now going to call on Ivan to bring the benediction.
I invite you to please stand as you're able. Creation, God's Spirit has been breathed into you. You are the people of the Pentecost, touched by the Spirit of fire, of boldness, of courage. So go from this place and share Christ's message of reconciliation for the whole creation. And know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with us and remain with us always. Go in peace to love and serve. In the name of Christ, amen. Thank you for letting me be part of tonight with you, and hallelujah.